Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows? Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Exodus 24. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Most holy, most righteous, most majestic and most glorious, but also most merciful and ever faithful God, then we and our children, then we are monuments upon this earth of thy goodness and of thy long suffering. And then also on this Sabbath day, then we and our children have been carried upon the wings of mercy. The reasons for thanksgiving, they have been multiplied in each of our lives. And if that thanksgiving has not been given, then our debt has only increased. Lord, we have heard out of thy word of a privileged people under the external administration of the covenant, where thou hast spoken and manifested thyself in a special way, a people that were sprinkled with the blood of the covenant. And now we and our children are such a privileged people. But, O Lord, it is written in thy holy word concerning the people of Israel that with many of them thou wert not well pleased. May that be our examination in this evening hour. Ah, Lord, we humbly beg of thee that thou may richly bless thy word in this hour, and that it may please thee as that heavenly and that sovereign potter to pick up that clay. Ah, that natural clay is passive, but we through our deep fall, it is written that the carnal mind is enmity against the Lord. But, O Lord, may it please thee, to remember our boys and our girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, and to place them on the potter wheels of free and sovereign grace. Oh, to shed thy love abroad, and in beginning to make them a vessel that may be fit for the master's use. Lord, where thou hast begun that good work, thou hast the people that learn that they are so sinful and so unworthy, and at times the wonder that they may still have a place on that wheel of free and sovereign grace, the wonder that thou dost not cast them away. And then it is so needful that they are further instructed and that they are formed more and more to reflect thy image. And that is only possible. 'Tis a work of a triune God, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the applying work of the Holy Spirit, our Lord. Do it then in this evening hour, and that thy people may not only receive and have life, but that they may have it more abundantly. Oh, that close, that tender, that dependent life, with an eye upon the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great name. Do bless the means of grace to that end, in the midst of the church, in the midst of the family circles, and wilt thou remember our Christian schools, when soon the time of preparation will come. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember thy truly called servants. May their number be increased. We commend unto thee the candidate who hopes to be ordained in 10 days to the ministry of word and of the sacraments. Wilt thou grant all that is needed. May thou be the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. We remember the persecuted church, so many places upon the earth where on this Lord's Day they could not come to a sanctuary or meet together unless it was in secret places, in a forest, in a cave, and perhaps with much fear and trembling. O Lord, wilt thou grant them that eye of faith to look upon the King who has declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Do take the veil off the Jewish nation. May that time hastily arrive, not only in the way of understanding, but above all by thy Spirit, in the way of experience. Our Lord, we also need to learn that of self by nature, a self-righteous Jew that needs to be saved through the crucified Son of God. Remember all mission work, our mission field, thy servants and the team, And wilt thou remember the father and mother, whether language studies, may also in that way they be given to experience, that thou know of them in a special way. Remember land and country, our nation. Remember our leaders federally, provincially, where we have departed so far from thy word, from thy institutions. Thy judgments are hanging low over the earth. And our Lord, who was troubled therewith, who perceives it, and who takes it to heart, but may thou also use the signs of the times, that we and our children may be given to hasten for our life's sake, and to seek shelter. Ah, there is still room for us and our dear children under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. We commend unto thee the needs in the realm of nature. May it please thee to grant refreshing showers and to keep us from great storms of destruction. Then in this season, then many a fire has burnt, has destroyed, has consumed, and are still burning. Lives have been ushered into eternity. Also among the firefighters, wilt thou grant thy help, and that these solemn callings, that they may also be used for the coming of thy kingdom, Lord. May we and our children be more exercised and concerned with the fire of thy wrath, and teach us that our sins, they are not forgiving, they shall be the kindling wood for that everlasting fire. Ah, Lord, do look then upon us and our children in thy great mercy. By renewal, we lay before thee the manifold needs of the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones. Wilt thou surround them with thy care and thy compassion, the crosses, the burdens, secret burdens. Remember the family circles. May love abound, and our Lord, when it is different, to grant repentance, a bowing of the knees, while it can yet and while it may yet. And what has been separated, well, to grant healing and reconciliation. Lord, then by renewal in this evening hour, then we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou open thy precious testimony? Wilt thou open our mouth? Wilt thou open the heavens? And oh, wilt thou open the hearts? Oh, wonder-doing God, stretch forth then thy almighty arm, and rescue perishing sinners. And thy people, thou knowest how they have come up to thy house. Ah, be a surprising God. Dwell richly amongst us. Take away everything that could be a hindrance, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 163, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face. Within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace, and what follows, Psalter 163, the three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 26, the question and answer 69 through 71. Question 69, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Answer thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? Answer. It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely, for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Question 71. Where has Christ promised us that he will certainly wash us by his blood and spirit, as we are washed with the water of baptism? Answer. In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Lord's Day number 26 speaks of the sacrament of holy baptism explained. With four thoughts, in the first place, the sign. Secondly, the seal. Thirdly, the benefits. And fourthly, the promises. The sacrament of holy baptism explained. The sign, the seal, the benefits, and the promises. Those are four easy points for our boys and girls to remember. So when your father and mother ask you what the points were, then you can tell them. Beloved congregation, when we are called in the Lord's providence to consider Lord's Day number 26 of our Heidelberg Catechism, then let it also be a preparatory sermon where the Lord willing and we live, then in 2 weeks, the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered. And then congregation, then we must not only listen for those parents, we must also listen for ourselves. And fathers and mothers, may I ask you, with the baptism of your children, has there been a baptism that has become unforgettable? That there was a time of preparation, that you were exercised with the sacrament, with the souls of your children? Have there been those that know of a time with the baptism of their children when the water was sprinkled upon their foreheads, that it is a time that you shall never forget? And then the time after, also the exercises. We have heard in Lord's Day number 25 and Lord's Day number 26, that is the application and the explanation of Lord's Day number 25. Where Lord's Day number 25 has spoken of the sacraments in general. And then we have heard that by renewal, that the instructors have pointed us to that only name given under heaven, and that is that precious Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of the Father, who was come upon this cursed earth, who was suffered and died, who was shed his precious blood. And then I read in John 19, when the soldiers have come to Golgotha's cross, to that hill where those three crosses were, and when they have pierced the mediator, that out of his side came forth blood and water. Concerning our Heidelberg Catechism, then there are many questions, 18 of the 129 questions devoted to the sacraments, and that is a reason, because in the time of the Reformation, then there were many errors concerning the sacraments, errors in the Roman Catholic Church, but also different thoughts between Luther and Calvin. And now our first thought, that is the sign, and that is water, not unknown in the ceremonial laws of the Jewish nation, where many times we read of washings, Aaron and his sons when they were ordained in Exodus 29, a leper with his cleansing, he must be washed with water. On the Day of Atonement, then we read different times of the necessity of washings, and then it is clearly written, lest ye die. History tells us that in the Old Testament, when proselytes have come from outside, the males were circumcised, but that they were also baptized. And to that end, what a message it was of John the Baptist when he has exhorted that the Jewish people, that they must be baptized for the remission of sins, for outsiders, for the heathens they could understand. But now for good church-going Jews, and then the need to be baptized, what a proclamation that was. And now it has pleased the King of the Church to use a very simple sign that is found all over the world. And boys and girls, you can remember a sign that instructs, that points to something. And then the sign in the sacrament of holy baptism, that is water. And to live, then water is necessary. Without water, we shall soon die of thirst. Water refreshes. Water makes soft, hard clay. With the water, it is softened. But above all water, we use it to cleanse ourselves. And that is pointed to in the sacrament of holy baptism. And what a preaching that is. Fathers and mothers, when that water, when that needs to be sprinkled, then it tells us that our children are unclean. And I read in Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? Has that become your burden, parents? Has that become your sorrow? Does that bring you at times on your knees, that you were given to beg for the Lord's mercy, and not only for our children, but also for ourselves? And then the instructors, they have written concerning that cleansing. Shows they have experience. The instructors were in the right school, because they have spoken, especially, that I am as certainly washed by his blood. Oh, that precious blood, the power of that blood, the cleansing of that blood. Because I read in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And now the instructors, they have mentioned the special mark of grace. Then they did not speak in the first place of gross sins. But then they have spoken from all the pollution of my soul by the uncovering of the Spirit. Oh, that evil within, hidden for other people. We have stated in this morning when it is tender, when it is right, because there are times when it is not so right. Also in the life of a child of God, that they cherish bosom sins. But when that love is an exercise, that close life, all we desire, could they but pluck that evil heart out of their bosom and cast it into the sea. Thus, a clear mark of grace to be troubled. Godly sorrow concerning the pollution of my soul, not separated from the guilt and punishment. And then they have added for souls, so that ever become a fear congregation, that we are too big and too black of a sinner to be saved, sinned against the law, against the Lord speaking, against his providence, against his love, against the gospel, souls that know what it is to spoil and ruin everything. Then the sacrament of baptism, what a rich preaching it is for guilty sinners, for black sinners, for vile sinners, for sinners that have tried so hard and that have learned that they cannot save themselves. Is there such a soul in my midst? Oh, afraid, sinned too much and too long. Then that sign may declare the abounding grace of God through his beloved Son, that precious blood that cleanses from all sin. Then that sign declares that there is a Savior, white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. Then the sign declares what I read in Zechariah 13, verse 1, and in that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness in congregation. That fountain is an ever-flowing fountain that is for public use. And we never read in the scriptures of poor sinners that have come to that fountain that they were sent away. 'Tis the work of the Spirit to grant that they may drink so abundantly of that fountain. But that sign needs to be applied. Our second thought, the seal. Then the sign needs to be accompanied by God's holy word. You can remember, boys and girls, that last week we have read out of Esther 8 that decree that was written, and that the king has given unto Mordecai his ring with that seal or stamp, and that he has put that stamp on that letter. Then two things are necessary. it was only the letter without the stamp, then there could be many questions whether it was real. But our boys and girls can understand if on a large piece of paper there was only a stamp, then that stamp would not have anything to seal. And to that end, the sign accompanied by his word can give different examples. When we are given to behold a beautiful rainbow in the sky, a wonder of God's creation, but if we did not have his holy word, then we could behold the beauty, see God's creation, but it would not have the rich meaning that it does, where it is declared in God's word that the rainbow is a token, a seal, that the Lord shall never destroy this whole world with a flood. And many a child of God may speak how that the Lord has used a rainbow or even a double rainbow to confirm that covenant of grace according to Isaiah 54, the verses 9 and 10, for this shall be as the waters of Noah unto thee. For I have sworn that the waters shall no more go over the earth, so I shall never be wroth with thee, and the covenant of peace shall not depart from me. To give another example, boys and girls, think of Joseph. Then Joseph has sent wagons to the land of Canaan to fetch Jacob and his family. And if now only wagons have arrived without the message that Joseph is alive and that he is governor over all the land of Egypt, then those wagons, they could raise many questions. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that need the sign. Ah, they learn. So ignorant in heavenly ways, but they also need the seal. And what a privilege and what a blessing it is for the true child of God, what may take place when the sacrament is administered, when they may be given to behold things, the riches thereof, which they have never seen before. When that water is sprinkled by an eye of faith, to be given to behold the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sins, but also to experience that sealing work, then that should also be a question for fathers and mothers when they present their little ones before the Lord to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. Because we have heard that Christ, as the King of his church, that he has instituted the sacraments for the strengthening of their faith. Has that ever become the question, fathers and mothers, concerning the sacrament of baptism? Have you then examined your hearts whether there was faith to be strengthened, that brought you in the need, that you says, "Ach, Lord, thou wast now given the sacraments for a holy purpose, for a holy people, and now we have no faith. I have nothing but unbelief evident in my life. Otherwise, I would be more concerned about my soul and concerning the souls of my children that have begun their journey to eternity. Thus, the sealing work, our instructors, they speak to be assured. Ah, God's true people, because that true faith, that comes so under attack. How it can be assaulted, can be questioned, can go upside down. That true people of God, they are oftentimes given to examine their hearts with a hope that they have received, whether it is that true faith, wrought by the Holy Spirit, virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord works congregation, do you really think that the devil shall just be an idle onlooker? Do you think that the devil shall leave the true child of God alone? Oh, to say it reverently, then it is the joy of the devil to pester his true child concerning their portion of the greater son of Jesse. But now Christ has given both word and sacrament for the strengthening of their most holy faith. Thus, concerning the sacrament of baptism, concerning the seal, we have that precious text in Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, are there souls that know what it is to be a black, a vile, a great, even the chiefest of sinners, hopeless from our side? The Lord is just to cast forever away. But it is a people that cannot miss the Lord. Come now and let us reason together. That is now declared when the sacrament of holy baptism may be administered. Oh, what a rich gospel. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Let us first sing. Psalter 241, the first four stanzas. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. And what follows, 241, the first four stanzas. The sacrament of holy baptism explained. The sign, the seal, and now thirdly the benefits, which we read in question and answer number 70. When it asked concerning the advantage of the sacrament of holy baptism, then we must also speak of the privilege. And may that be more and more abound upon our heart. When it is asked, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Do you hear it, congregation? It is so personally. And then we do well oftentimes to pause and consider that we have a baptized forehead, and what a privilege and blessing it is to be separated from most of the people of the world, to be under the external administration of the covenant, and where the Lord has promised to work in a special way. Balaam had an impression thereof when he was given to see that encampment in Numbers 24, verse 5. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, young and old. Do we ever pause to consider our privileges? But unto whom much is given, much is required. And now concerning that people we have read together out of Exodus 24, knowing that chapter it does not speak of a sacrament, but it speaks of a people that were sprinkled. They have been delivered. They have come unto Mount Sinai. The law was read. The book of the covenant was opened. And then that people were given to tell Moses, all that the Lord has commanded, we will do. Thus we could draw many lines to the sacrament of holy baptism, where when it takes place in the morning, after the reading of the law, the questions are asked, an oath is made, and then we read of the children of Israel, an altar, the sacrifices were brought, then that people were given to see that there was blood shed, and half of the blood placed upon the altar. But what was then necessary? That that blood would be applied. And so Moses has sprinkled that blood, the thought is, upon the 70 and the 2 elders of Aaron, representing the 12 tribes. And now when this Lord's Day, then by renewal, the vehement and desire, the solemnest in Psalm 45, verse 2, Then he has stated concerning that precious Jesus Christ, Thou art fairer than the children of men, and grace is poured out upon his lips' congregation. Has he become necessary? Has he become suitable? And has he become precious for us? Where that solemn is also fulfilled with the administration of the holy sacrament of baptism, that grace is that thou wert fairer than the children of men, because the instructors they are given to point by renewal to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified. And now concerning the blessings and the benefits, then we read of two matters. It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely, all without money and without price. What a precious proclamation for poor sinners that have such a great debt, that are bankrupt, to receive the remission of sins freely. And how? For the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by the sacrifice upon the cross. That refers to justification, to be pardoned of our sins, and to receive a right to eternal life. That is pointed to in the sacrament of holy baptism, and that is for poor sinners. But then further, because the Lord has a people upon the earth, and that separates the precious from the vile. Oh, there is a Christendom that speaks of great things, can speak of many biblical things, speaks of the precious Savior. But if now you ask that people, how they have come to that knowledge. If you ask that people whether they have ever become a poor sinner, if you ask that people whether they have learned to weep because of their sins and because of that missing, if you ask that people concerning that godly sorrow, if you ask that people of those leadings how they have come to that knowledge, then they have no answer. But now the instructors, they are given to speak of two blessings. First, justification, the remission of sins freely. The Lord has a people upon the earth that do not only need his sacrifice, but who also love his service. A people who do not only need him as priest, but also desire him to be their king. And to that end, the instructors are also given to speak of sanctification and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost. And when the instructors speak of justification and sanctification, that includes regeneration, that we become new creatures by the work of the Spirit, with those new desires and longings, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified. to be members of Christ, and then a further uncovering than how the child of God oftentimes must bow their head concerning that sanctification. What a privilege when there is that tender, that close and dependent life, that childlike faith living out of Christ, being administered to out of his fullness, out of that threefold office, that so we may more and more die unto sin. That is now that holy warfare, that strife between that old man and that new man, and lead holy and unblameable lives. The form for the administration of holy baptism that speaks of those matters, that there are two parts in a covenant. Our forethought, the promises, and then there is ask, where has Christ promised us that he will certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? Thus the question is, where is it now written in the Word of God? Where do we find that explained? In the time of the Reformation, then one of their watchwords was sola scriptura, must be found in the scriptures. Luther, at the Diet of Worms, has stated to the high ones upon the earth that unless he could be proven out of God's holy word that he has erred, that he could not and he may not recant. And then the instructors have answered in the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That command of that institution that begins with therefore, and that rests upon his finished work in the state of his humiliation concerning his priestly office. And then they are called upon to teach, that is the prophetical office. And then before that command, then Christ has said, all power that is his kingly office is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And then further, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The most important in that command, not that baptism is not important, but the crucial word is believe. Do we believe, congregation? What do we believe? That is also a question for the true child of God. Every Sabbath evening, the 12 articles are read. Belief in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He that believeth in faith is a gift of God, wrought by the Spirit, shall be saved, confirmed by the sacrament of holy baptism. But he that believeth not shall be damned. My unconverted fellow travelers, bow your knees, forsake the world, and beg the Lord that he may work that wonderful work in your heart, that it may all become true reality here in the time. God becomes true, our sin becomes true, and that we learn that we cannot save ourselves, a black, a vile sinner, broken the covenant, transgressed this law, sinned against the law, sinned against the gospel, and then, because it is written in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. May we come that far, congregation. Christ has said to his disciples in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. It is declared in the sacrament of baptism, and then further is also repeated where the scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Very strong language concerning the meaning, the significance of the sacrament, and that is for a purpose. And may fathers and mothers, may they be given to ponder over those expressions concerning the riches of the sacrament, and be given to ask the Lord that the Lord may do for their children, but also for the parents, what is signified therein. And then by that assurance that the Spirit, because also the sacraments must be applied by the Holy Spirit, then by that assurance, 'tis declared in this Lord's Day, the testimony of the Apostle Paul on that stormy ship where he was given to state whose I am and whom I serve. And the psalmist declares in Psalm 144:15, happy is the people that is in such a case, whose God is the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may humbly acknowledge and thank thee that thou wast given another Lord's Day, another soul's market day, yet a few words to speak. Well, to grant the application, well, to grant examination, meditation, and prayer, that thou may remember us and our dear children. We may commence another week. Then we humbly ask thee that thou may remember the mothers with the children in their homes. Remember at work. Remember on the way. Many have come from afar and are called upon to return. Well, thou keep us from an unexpected, and above all from an unprepared death. Well, thou keep us from sin and temptation. wilt thou also remember on the coming Lord's Day. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory. Grant unto the elders a sermon which they may or must read. We commend unto thee the doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singing, and those that may have an active part in the service. Wilt thou grant many a Aaron's and hers. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Wilt thou grant rest for our bodies and our minds, and that in the morning hour we may awake, and that thou grant us strength, courage, and joy for our labors, which thou hast laid upon our shoulders. Wilt thou grant that dependent life a special place at thy footstool. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in speaking and in listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter 410, the first and the second stanza. Praise ye the Lord, ye saints below, and in his courts his goodness show. Praise ye the Lord, ye hosts above, and heaven adore his boundless love. And what follows, Psalter 410, the two stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee.